Brother, this afternoon I want to take you back to McGuffey's Readers. It's a place that I've taken you to in the past on more than one occasion. This is McGuffey's second reader, and the brief account goes this way. Beautiful faces are they that wear the light of a pleasant spirit there. I pause to note that oftentimes the countenance on the face is quite communicative. The countenance on the face can be quite reflective of what's going on in the soul. Reflective perhaps of a spirit of love, of humility, of openness, of kindness, of service. Beautiful hands are they that do deeds that are noble, good, and true. Beautiful hands do deeds of kindness, moved by hearts of love. And then this final line, beautiful feet are they that go swiftly to lighten another's woe. Feet that move to that one, not away, but to. To that one weighed down and exhausted by a heavy burden of adversity or discouragement or sorrow. Feet that move to that burden, brother or sister, so as to get under the burden with him or her, so as to help, so as to carry it, so as to relieve and support. Like kind brother, who's also described in McGuffey's second reader, a boy was once sent from home to take a basket of things to his grandmother. The basket was so full that it was very heavy. So his little brother went with him to help carry the load. They put a pole under the handle of the basket, and each of them took hold of an end of the pole. In this way, they could carry the basket very nicely. And in another account, it begins like this. Lend a hand to one another. In the daily toil of life, when we meet a weaker brother, let us help him in the strife. Lend a hand to one another. We sing in stanza 3 of hymn number 285. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. Well, brethren, as we move forward this afternoon in the one another passages of the New Testament, and perhaps for information's sake, this is number 56 in this series now. The present concern is the 19th, as they are listed, the 19th of the one another directives, bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2 is our text. I want to begin with three opening comments. And the first is this. Mutual burden bearing is related to and connected to some other one another directives. Among them would seem to at least be the following. Love one another. One of the expressions of loving one another is the matter of putting a shoulder under the burden of another. And indeed, in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. What law is being referred to? I'd offer to you that one, if not dogmatically certain answer, the highly probable answer is this law. John 13 at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. What law? Perhaps we could reflect back on Galatians 5:14. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's certainly the near equivalent to John 13:34. We can say that mutual burden bearing is certainly connected to the matter of loving one another. Further, I would add that mutual burden bearing is surely related to the one another directive, comfort one another. We do comfort one another when we show enough genuine interest, enough genuine care and compassion to help them with their burdens. I believe you would recognize if someone did that for you or has done that, it is a source of consolation. Surely the matter of bearing one another's burdens is connected to edify one another, another directive we have considered, building up, strengthening that brother or sister when we help them carry their load. When we take the other end of the pole like those two brothers. Again, I would offer that mutual burden bearing is connected to what we more recently considered, be kind to one another. That kind-heartedness expressed by kind, useful deeds that are serviceable. Well, kindness can take the form of a timely putting your shoulder under the load another is carrying. And then most recently, serve one another. Galatians 5:13, surely we serve one another in bearing one another's burdens. I simply offer in this first general comment that bearing one another's burdens would seem to be related at least to these. And yet with this, there is a distinctive nuance that sets this directive apart from the others. Well, that's my first general opening comment. The second is this. Yes, we have considered this directive before. If you want to know specifically, messages 202, 203, and 204 in the Galatians series. And thus, maybe, I will hasten to some degree. Really, nothing is new here but the headings on the outline. And take the outline in hand for just a few minutes. Bear one another's burdens. I have gotten, admittedly, into a habit of trying to alliterate, and the B's came out fine. The behest. What is a behest? Look it up in the dictionary. Command. The behest is in Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens. That's an imperative to the people of God. Bear one another's burdens. Not optional. That's our duty in the church of Christ. Not to walk away from a brother or sister, but to that brother or sister. And then the block. Among my limited experiences in life, I do have some here. The block. I won't elaborate. But the block, it's the idea of that which gets in the way. And maybe in your mind, you might be saying, yes, he has experiences in that realm beyond what he's got in his mind. That which hinders, that which prevents. The block is an obstacle, an obstruction. And in the context, an obstacle to bearing one another's burdens. What is it? What is that block that prevents this from happening? Verse 3 answers. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What is the block? Conceit. That's the block. The block is this imagined superiority that causes one to think, I'm above it all? And the practical outworking is, I'm not going to let you into my life to know my burdens lest I betray my imagined self-sufficiency. And I'm surely not going to help you. Because my time and my efforts must be devoted to the main one, which is me. I can't be bothered by those below me. That's the block. Conceit. But then there's the balance. The balance in the way of an element that provides a harmony here. The balance in the sense of a complementary existence of things. In verse 2, there is the matter of bearing one another's burdens. On the other side, the balance, verses 4 and especially 5, is personal responsibility. But let each one examine his own work. And then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load. You may remember when this was expounded, that term load referred to a soldier's pack. Every soldier had to carry his own pack. He didn't slough it off on another soldier. The point is here, on the one hand, we bear one another's burdens, and on the other hand, there is personal responsibility. Something that seems to be leaving our culture of victimization and entitlement and dependency. Well, that's the outline. The behest, the block, the balance. Now I have a third opening comment, and it's this. The members of this church have real burdens. Now note in your Bibles in Galatians 6 at verse 2, and this kind of leads us into the heading, the behest. Note the term there, burdens. The term is used about a dozen times in the New Testament. And this is one place where I can add a little bit more completion relative to our Galatians series. I'm going to simply name these occurrences and how it is translated. It'll help fill out the picture of what this burden is. It is found in Matthew 20 at verse 12. These men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and scorching heat of the day. A burden is something that wears you out. In Matthew 23:4, as an adjective, it's translated heavy. Heavy loads. A burden is something heavy that wears you out. In Matthew 23:23, again as an adjective, weightier provisions of the law. That helps fill the picture of what Paul means. This burden is a heavy weight. Acts 15:28, to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials, what was coming out of the Jerusalem conference. In Acts 20:29, as an adjective, it's translated savage. Savage wolves. Gives something of a picture of what these burdens that linger can do to you. Acts 25:7, as an adjective again, serious charges against him. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, it's translated weight in the phrase an eternal weight of glory. And in 2 Corinthians 10:10, again as an adjective, weighty. His letters are weighty. In 1 John 5:3, his, God's commandments are not burdensome. There's our term. And finally, in Revelation 2:24, I place no other burden on you. The term we are working from in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, signifies a heavy, weighty, oppressive load that wears and crushes and exhausts the one who's under it. Now, the third opening comment is this. Take that. There's your new directory. It actually had gone through my mind, waiting in there, to do this right now. But I put that aside. But take this directory and start alphabetically. Well, the first is Dawn Britt. Ask yourself about our sister. What burdens does she bear? And go family by family. The last, W, Wilsey. From Dawn Britt to the Wilseys. If you do that,
And you ask yourself, what burdens are present even in a membership of just about 50-some people? Here's what you'll come up with. Some of our members live with the burden of broken marriages and all that that brings. You don't think that's a burden? Broken marriages. And the results of such in terms of rearing children. The burden of being a single parent. Talk about a burden. Think of that one. The burden related to broken marriages of financial provision. No man is a breadwinner. You ladies that have husbands who are breadwinners, you should thank God profoundly. The burden of something seemingly as simple as repairing something in a household. We have more than one in our small membership bearing those kind of burdens. And then there are burdens in our membership related to employment. The struggles attendant to unemployment, or what we might call underemployment. The financial pressures, the uncertainties as to future provision, those are here in this membership. In our membership, there are burdens related to health, contending with ongoing disability and illness, and the consequences of such. We've got some of that in our membership. In our membership, there are profound family disappointments with children. With unconverted spouses. Unconverted sons and daughters, or daughters-in-law. Pain that never goes away when your children have died. That's here in this little membership. Pain of widowhood. That's in our membership. And then perhaps more ordinarily, the relentlessness of responsibilities in the family, on the job, with older parents. In the church, responsibilities that do not take a break. They're relentless. The only thing that changes is the shape of it. It just keeps coming. The reality is that life in a fallen world is attended by a vast variety of burdens that are oppressive and perplexing and depressing. They weigh down and they exhaust. My third opening comment is to take out this directory and to work through it this week, starting with Dawn Britt and ending with the Wilses. Go through everyone in between.
and ask yourself, what is the burden or burdens that that brother or sister is carrying now? And then there's a second question. What can I do to put my shoulder under that brother's burden? Well, those are the three opening comments. We take up now on the outline with the behest, the command. The command, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. The New English renders that, help one another to carry these heavy loads. J.B. Phillips, carry one another's burdens and so live out the law of Christ. We begin where the original begins, with one another's. That's what meets us here. In the church wherein there are people of the same kind, living in the same fallen world, living in reciprocal give and take, back and forth, interactive, mutually responsive relations. In the church, in a church like that, there are another's burdens. The premise here is that in your church, and we can demonstrate it with our little directory, there are burdens. There are. You can just start at the first membership unit. And the premise is validated. The premise is there are burdens amongst the people of God. From time to time, of one kind, of one degree, one shape or form of another. And again, the reality is that this is inescapable in a fallen world. The world may seek relief and help by escapist behaviors, by various preoccupations. Those burdened in our world, left to themselves, may seek their relief chemically, may take on, with the encouragement of voices out there, a mindset of victimization and entitlement. Or, on the other hand, there may be a cultivated stoicism, a pseudo-fortitude, which determines that one is going to be unfeeling and unaffected and private. Again, because admitting my burdens would expose my delusion of self-adequacy. But that's not life in the church. Life in the church, burdens. And life in the church is this. We bear one another's burdens. Yes, Christ alone can bear the burden of our sin and our guilt. He bore it on His own body when He died on the cross, and He invited the heavy laden to come to Him. Matthew 11, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My load is light. Yes, we take the burden of our guilt and our shame and our sin, and we take it to Christ. Yes, we are to cast our burden upon the Lord, Psalm 55:22, and He will sustain you. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation, Psalm 68:19. Yes, we are to cast all of our anxiety upon Him because He cares for us. And one of the means whereby God sustains and cares, I would say one of His primary central means, that of true-hearted brethren
coming alongside to help. Coming alongside to take the other end of the pole and carry that load. Note the command again in Galatians 6:2, bear. It's the idea of lending a hand to help. It's the idea of getting under the load with your brother and assisting him. The term bear found in Mark 14:13, go into the city, our Lord saying, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Carrying, bearing. Acts 21:35, and when he got to the stairs, it so happened that he was carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob that is in those barracks in Ephesus. Carried. John 19 at verse 17, they took Jesus therefore and he went out, here's our term, bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull. The sense of bear is simple. Getting under the load. Helping to carry the load in the church. We are to help carry one another's burden. It requires humility on the part of the burdened. The burdened have to be done with this disguise. I don't need anybody or anything. And it requires love on the part of the one who comes to share the burden. Luther wrote, therefore, Christians must have strong shoulders and mighty bones. Why? Because Christians are to get under one another's loads. I'd add they have to have large hearts too. The behest. Bear one another's burdens. And that may take many forms. Certainly the form of intercessory prayer. The form of encouragement and timely needed instruction. But here's one form that seems so simple. But I think as the years unfold, it's at least in my assessment, become more and more and more important. It's the means of listening to people. Practically, you may not be able to do a thing. But there's something about patiently listening to one who's troubled or burdened. It seems to have, I'll describe it as a sanctified therapeutic effect. Just listening. Mercy upon the one who has to combine burden with loneliness and really has nowhere to take the burden. That's potentially deadly, catastrophic. Bearing one another's burdens. They take the form of practical helps of different kinds. A meal, a repair, the doing of some household task. It may take the form financial assistance for some legitimate need. But whatever specific form, burden bearing requires real, not faked, interest in people.
genuine interest. It takes sympathy. And it takes time. And it takes effort. And it takes resources often. The bearing of one another's burdens. Surely a dimension of manifest love and brotherly relations in the church. There are burdens in our church. And the directive is plain. Bear one another's burdens. That's the behest. God willing, we'll return to consider the block, conceit. I'm too important. Can't really get my hands dirty with you. You're below me. And I'm self-sufficient. And then the balance. I don't just thoughtlessly roll my burdens on everybody who comes along. No, I'm responsible. I've got to carry my own pack. Brethren, I encourage you this week to take out our directory and begin with our sister Dawn and work through it. What are the burdens and what can I do to put my shoulder under the burden of that brother or sister? Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. That tells us of the high importance of this one another directive. Fulfilling the law of Christ. Let us pray. Father, may we be this kind of church. Genuinely interested in the welfare of one another, genuinely concerned about the heavy, weighty, wearisome burdens of one another, genuinely desirous of lending a hand, of taking the other end of the pole, of putting a shoulder under another's difficulty, discouragement, pain, or sorrow. And I pray in the name of Christ. Amen.